what's it feel like, and we try to make it more complicated than it needs to be. And I think primarily because if we say, well, I'm not really sure about how that Holy Spirit stuff moves in me, then we don't have to move. Amen? Not as glorious of an amen as I thought I would get there. But it's a little startling, isn't it, to hear and understand the way in which God is moving in us and through us. So maybe we can simplify it a little bit. This reading from the first letter of Corinthians, it says this. We're using just the last portion of the third verse of chapter 12. It says, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus is Lord. Repeat after me. Can we say it? So we're saying it. Now we can hear that that is except by the Holy Spirit. Now maybe some of us didn't say Jesus is Lord. Maybe we're not sure if Jesus is Lord. Maybe some of us said the words, but we're not really sure if it's true. But some of us are saying Jesus is Lord because we know, well, that Jesus is Lord. And we know that because we have spent some time and some effort in recognizing that the presence of the Holy Spirit indwells us. We don't always remember. We have moments when we forget. And there are times when this life is doing things to us, or it may seem as though life is doing things to us, and we're wondering, where is God? And then we remember, God is with us. And in the midst of all those struggles and all those troubles, we can calmly sit back and say, Jesus is Lord. And we just know it to be true. It is a sense that is deeply ingrained in us that even just saying those words as I stand before you, to just calmly say, Jesus is Lord. I know that he is with me. It's kind of like a nice exhale. Like my therapist, physical therapist, tells me to do when I'm stretching. Exhale, let the stretch go deeper. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is Lord. Exhale, let the stretch go deeper. So you feel it throughout the fullness of who you are. When we understand Jesus is Lord, that is when we know that that is coming through by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just words, it's an understanding. And as we continue to look forward in this reading in verse 4, it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. That's exciting. Unless you're not excited about the concept of the Holy Spirit gifting you, then it's a little nerve-wracking, right? But the fact of the matter is this. Those of us who proclaim Jesus is Lord, knowing that is coming by the power of the Holy Spirit, are to receive gifts from God. Everyone. Everyone. And there is a purpose for these gifts, clarified in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It is wonderful to know the very presence of God. It is reassuring to be able to exhale and know that Jesus is Lord. It brings comfort, it brings peace, and it may actually bring strength. It can bring sanity in the midst of insanity. But brothers and sisters, the gifts that come with knowing that Spirit of God are for the common good. It isn't something that you earned for you. It is something God has given you so that you can work with him in this world. Anybody getting nervous yet? Good. Some are, some aren't. But the reality is, we are called to move with God. which can look many different ways. But when we move together with God as one body, God is glorified. When we lean into the gifts that He has given us, we see the manifestation of His Spirit among us. That's where we begin to truly know God. Not just know about. Not just say, well, this is nice when I need it. But to know God in such a way that my life is now different. And I move differently. God is shifting who I am so that He can do more of what He desires through me in this space and in this world. Here we like to refer to it as transforming lives. This is how it happens. By God's hand, not ours. Now you may be wondering, I don't know what my gifts are. Your gifts will be discerned in the body. You have to begin to move in your gifts, and it can be frightening. It's one of those moments where you know you've been brought up against something, and you know everything in your being says, I should do this, I should say this, I should move this way, I should reach out to this person. It can be very simple things, it can be very big things. But we get to that moment, and we stand in the moment, and we wonder, am I the right person? You ever been there? Maybe this is for somebody else to do. Maybe your priest is standing in front of you, or someone else, a lead of a ministry, is saying, we really need your help. And you, everything in you is saying, okay, it's that Holy Spirit, and I've shared with you before, that Holy Spirit moment when we shift to the front of the pew. You know what I'm talking about? Where you hear what's going on, and instead of sitting here really comfortable like this, all of a sudden you find yourself sitting like this, and you're right there on the edge. You feel like you're right on the edge because you're right on the edge, brothers and sisters. That's where God lives, by the way, is out on the edge. If He lived comfortably on the couch, believe me, I would be doing incredible work for God. I mean, I got a spot. And that couch is going to have to be thrown away because that one spot is wore out. Sooner than later, I'm afraid. But the reality is we're on that edge. And I like to remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, Search for the Holy Grail. Have you seen it? He gets into this temple, and he's following his dad's notes. He has to find it so his father can drink of it so it can save his life. And he's going through, and he's making it through all the traps and all the things that have taken out all the other people. It's a little bit horrifying, but he's making it through because he has his father's notes. And he gets to this spot, and it's this giant crevice, and it's bottomless. And he needs to be on the other side of it. You've seen it? And he goes to the notes, and he goes, and it has a little drawing that his dad made, and it says, leap of faith. It's a leap of faith. And he stands there, and he says, and he puts his foot out, and he steps into what appears to be the abyss. And he lands on a bridge that he couldn't see because it looks just like the depths of the abyss. And he grabs some sand, and he throws it across, and he goes, okay. And off he goes on his journey. But if he had stopped there, his father would have died. The movie would have ended. It would have been rather dull. But he stood there in that moment, on that edge. When we are moving by the power of God, we will know that because we will come to our end, and we will be facing the complete unknown, and we will put our foot out, and we'll go, I don't know where it's going to land. And that's where we make a choice. We either trust that what God is saying in His Word is true, and that the Spirit of God indwells us, and that we know Him, and we can proclaim Him as Lord, and we let Him lord over the moment, and we go like this. And when you move by the Spirit of God, that's what it looks like every time you move for God. It is unknown until you move. The one thing that is known about it is that God is with you, amen? And if you feel at the depth of your soul that this is where God is calling you to go, to move, to do, to speak, whatever it may be, the only thing keeping God from being able to accomplish what He wants to accomplish in you and through you is when you stand at the edge and you put your foot out and you know you should take the step and you proclaim a trust in God, and you go, maybe it's somebody else. Maybe I don't have the gift. Here's news. If he was not prepared to gift you for the moment, he would not have called you to the edge. That's really all there is to it. If you keep turning away from the edge, it gets harder and harder to see and know where God is calling you to walk. So come out on the edge. Live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust that God is going to do what he is going to do. You will know when you have done it. When you get past whatever this thing is, and you yourself are thinking, how did that happen? You ever been there? You find yourself in this incredible moment and the very presence of God, and you recognize, and someone recognizes in you, that was a God moment. And you yourself can't explain it, because you, at that point, were simply moving by the gift that God has given you. You are moving in the Spirit. And it's kind of a cool thing to look back at. And then 2 days later, you're going to be facing it. And you're going to be thinking, should I? And some days you will say yes. And you will see the glory of God. And some days you will step back. And you will miss the fullness of what God was calling you to do. And you'll know when you've done it. You'll know when you've walked with God, and you'll know when you've stopped. Don't be discouraged. He will give you another shot. And another one, and another one, and another one. But don't turn away. We will fail, and we will succeed. Our success will be solely based on moving by the Spirit of God. It'll be easier than you think. You yourself will be shocked and surprised, and you will be grateful. And by the way, most of those moments will make absolutely no sense to you whatsoever. But other people will see it in you, and they will encourage you in your gifts, even though you may not fully be aware of them. I would like to tell you, I entered the process for the priesthood simply because I just knew at the depth of my soul God wanted to be a priest. Be a priest, Brian. I had to start exploring it because other people kept talking to me like I was going to be a priest. And it used to upset me. People I didn't even know. I would be at some event, I would speak, somebody would come up. You know, when you're a priest, I'm like, wait a minute, stop. Why did you say that? I had a guy come up to me on a Sunday morning and goes, God has told me I need to come and ask you when you're leaving. I'm like, leaving? Why would I be leaving? He goes, well, you are going to seminary, right? I hadn't even gone to college yet. I'm like, I don't think so. And every time I said, I don't think so, the depth of my soul said, you're wrong. And I fought it as best I could, almost 10 years. Yeah, right? Some people are thinking, why not 10 more? Jeez. But either way, you know, you do what you got to do. But you move into it, and you then trust God, and then he starts to show off a little bit, and then you're like, oh, okay, this is what it looks like. And then the next opportunity comes, and you go, ugh, maybe not that one. And then you know for sure it was yours to do. But don't despair. Just take the step next time. And then you will understand where your gifts are and what it means to move in the Spirit of God. Other people will be with you. Other people will join you in it. And other people are likely to recognize your gift before you do. So trust those people in your life that come to you and say, hey, would you be interested in this? Or I see this in you. Don't immediately shut it down so you don't have to think about it, because in the depth of your soul, you know it's true. And it's easier not to look at than to consider. Consider it and truly live in the glory of God. When I arrived here a little over 5 years ago, about this time, I'd been here for several months. Our transition to Holy Innocence was complicated, to say the least, in our personal life. When we arrived, I was struggling to figure out what to do and how to move and how to engage this new community and to be a part of the new community. And I found myself a few months in feeling like I didn't know why I was here. And I actually came and preached on that, to be honest, because I went out into the woods with my Bible and I prayed and I wondered and I wandered. And the Lord gave me some clarity because I was constantly saying, Lord, why am I here? Because to be honest, when I arrived, it didn't make sense to me that I would be your priest. I knew I was supposed to be here, I had no doubt, but I couldn't figure out how to move as the priest I knew myself to be. And I finally came back from that moment, and some of you may remember, and some people may have left that day, I don't know. And I said, by the way, God has called me to be a missionary to the Episcopal Church, which means I am going to be rocking the boat. I don't want you to get out, and I don't want you to fall out. So hold on to one another, hold on to me, because we're going to find out what God is going to do here now. Doesn't mean he hasn't done anything before. It just means he's doing something more here now in this new time, in this new season of ministry. And he had called me to say to you, let's go. Let's go. Let's move. And brothers and sisters, we are literally living proof as a faith community. In a time in the church when people are wondering if they are going to survive, when people are struggling to figure out who's coming to church and when we couldn't even come to church during COVID, this community thrived. Did it not? As a whole. Individually, we fell flat on our face and helped each other back up on a fairly regular basis. But as a whole, the faithfulness of holy innocence and the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling the faithful people, this parish was thriving at a time when nothing else was. And I mean nothing. That's what it looks like when the Spirit of God is moving. The impossible happens. So we know the Spirit of God is moving, and I believe the Spirit of God will continue to move, and I believe that has to do with the more, as we become more familiar with the way in which he is gifting us and the way in which his Spirit is moving in us and through us so that we can move with him for the building up of the common good, the building up of his body. God is calling us to be Christ to the world. He is indwelling us and gifting us by his Holy Spirit so that we can be Christ to the world, so that people can come to know the hope that you know, to find the peace that you have when you can take that deep exhale and know that no matter what is happening, no matter what is going on in the world, no matter what is happening in your life or to your body, you know Jesus is Lord. Now I know there's a few people in this room who already have some stories of the way in which God has moved here. If you have a story when you just know that that was a God moment in a ministry and the work that you have done in the midst of this faith community, stand up. I can feel that moment now. I see your faces, and I see some of you still sitting down. Go and sit down. And I know some of you that are sitting down could be standing up. And I don't know if you're sitting down just because we're Episcopalian and we don't stand up in the middle of church. Or maybe you don't recognize how God's moved through you because you don't know how to tell the story, because we don't do that well. Honestly. But we have the stories. We have to learn to tell the story because it's God's story. It is His glory. And the world needs that hope to know that what we know is true. It is the truth, the only truth that exists in this world, other than the death and taxes thing. But that death for us is even temporary. Taxes are for real. But here's the truth. Jesus is Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God is moving in us and through us. And we need to tell His story. We are His story. Each one of us who proclaim Him as Lord are His story. And each one of us adds to His story so that He can be glorified. Now, some of you may be familiar with this. This is a journal. Anybody own one? I mean, I own one. Anybody use one? No. I have one, but I don't own it. I mean, I don't really use it. I've been filling out the same journal, which has less pages than this, for almost 20 years. I still got about 2/3 to fill. But the stories are there. The understanding of my time in that moment, the times when I saw God and I just went, I have to sort it out, and I write it down. So someday somebody may actually look at these things and go, wow, Grandpa had some really interesting stories about his encounters with God. Maybe great-grandpa, I don't know. But we are telling the story today, and the story needs to be heard today by a world that is hurting today. And we, brothers and sisters, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are the ones who are telling God's story in the midst of this struggle. So this journal will live in the narthex, probably on the visitor's desk. And if you all see Lila, tell her to leave it there. Lila, leave it there, on the visitor's desk. And what I want you to do is, if you show up here on Sunday, and at some point since you were here the week before, you saw the very presence of God in another Christian, or God moved through you in such a way that you knew you were moving by the power of His Holy Spirit, and you know the story, amen? You know the story, write it down. Put the date in here, write it down. Because brothers and sisters, the way in which we used to measure the effectiveness of church, most especially in our own denomination, by the way, has never worked, and it never will. Because we are constantly trying to measure how many people came to church, how many people went to Bible study, how many people did this, how many people did that, how many people did you feed? Doesn't matter. The question is, brothers and sisters, how many people were touched by God when you sat with them and allowed the Holy Spirit to use you to touch them? That's the story. Isn't that each one of us? Isn't that our own story? Can't you put names to those people that they spoke truth into you and you knew at that moment they were speaking truth and you stopped and you let it sink in and you exhaled and you let it become truth that Jesus is Lord in that moment? And maybe you've had 100 of those moments like I've needed, and I'll need 1,000 more. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you? See, God's moving. The world needs to know so that the world can find their hope, that the world can find Jesus, that they can find their salvation. They can find truth, the only truth there is. Jesus is Lord. Write it down. It'll help me. I spend a lot of time doing paperwork. I don't know if you know that. As much as you think I live here like a monk and I pray all day and I wander around the campus and the rest of it, I'm pretty much doing paperwork. But the joy of my previous parish is we had one of these. And in those moments, when I found myself stepping back, I could go over and pick this up, and I could read how God was moving and be encouraged, and I can move. And if you don't have a story, come and read the stories that will fill this book so that you will know the truth, the only truth. See, God is calling us. We're called to do it together by the power of His Holy Spirit. Verse 12 says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." We are literally a part of Christ. He is literally a part of us. In a few minutes, we will recognize that through the sacrament of His very body and blood, which we will take into our body, the very presence of God will physically enter us again through the sacrament. We are many and simultaneously one in Him. Verse 13, "For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." All. There isn't a single person that hasn't been made in the image of God. There is not a single person that does not have within them this very image of God. There is not a single Christian proclaiming Jesus is Lord that moves through this life with no gift at all. Every single one, everyone is gifted by God for the common good. Together with God, we will transform the world.